Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is such a pleasure to be back taping this show.
I know, I've missed it.
It's been a bit. And you guys are saying, what are you talking about? You're here every week. We come back, you know, in spats to tape these episodes. And, you know, I haven't been at the Betcher's office in a while. I had my voice is somewhat back.
We've it's back and we've needed your energy. I feel like things are alive again.
Finally. Yeah. I've injected this place.
Exactly.
With the fancy and whimsy it needs on a weekly basis. But it's cool because I'm meeting people out everywhere I go. I meet listeners and it's really unbelievable how much people love this show.
I know, it's amazing and I feel flattered and excited. And we were just in DC promoting our book, When's Happy Hour, and I met a lot of U Up fans, which was exciting for me. That's, because I don't get out into the streets as much as you do.
You don't hit the streets all the time.
I don't get my hands dirty quite as often as you do.
But when you meet them, yeah, aren't you like, it's shocking the amount of people, but also like it feels like we're creating a community here.
It is. And it's a community I want to be part of.
Yes. So on that note, we should mention, we mentioned it last episode. We'll mention it again this episode. DC, we're coming.
Yes.
We're doing a live show, Six and I, January 24th. We want you to fill it up. We want that rocking. And when we went to Dallas, it was packed and fun and
great
awesome.
Great show, yeah.
Great show. We are creating a show that is a live experience. And we have different bits that are related to what we do on the show and what we talk about. And what I will tell you is that as a stand-up, I started doing live versions of podcasts with my show, and then right, we did it with this. We're actively working on making this a show that you should want to bring your friends, bring the whole group chat.
Yeah, bring the whole podcast book club, the podcast club.
But even beyond that, anyone on your group chat could come.
Yeah.
If they're like, I don't listen to podcasts, I don't care. We know, here's the reality of it. We know that you are going to love the show no matter what because you like the show. We are creating a show that is for your friend that you bring that has never heard it because we want them to love it. We want you to make you look good. It's like when you show someone a YouTube video and then they turn off midway through and you're like, oh, I fucked up my whole life.
Right.
You
know? Like I just took like 5 minutes of this person's time.
It's not like that. We're going to make sure that your friends walk away going, wow, that was a fucking fun night. So Thursday, January 24th, bring the crew. Let's fill it up. Six and I.
Do it.
Let's make it happen.
And where are you going to be? Anywhere?
If it's 11:14 right now.
Yes.
That's what the date is. I am currently in San Francisco.
You're like the TI weather guy.
Yeah. So where am I? I'm in San Francisco tonight. You can come to the Punchline San Francisco. Tomorrow, if you're in Sacramento, I'll be at the Punchline Sacramento. And come on out. We'd love to have you.
You're like bi-coastal. Look at you.
I'm all over this great nation. And you got a book out. The book is great.
Got a book out. We're very excited about it. Great to hear you guys' feedback. When's Happy Hour? You can buy it at betches.co/WHH. Anywhere books are sold. Definitely check it out.
The buzz is crazy for that book.
The book is great. Let me tell you, you're not going to find another career book that doesn't take itself so seriously and gives you some good advice, but is also like pretty fucking funny.
There you go.
So that's the pitch.
But it's also like, you know, in the vein of things, in the way this podcast is, it's a commiseration. It's right, letting you know that like you know, things kind of suck and here's the reality.
Yeah. And here's the thing. We wrote this book because I hate career books.
Yeah.
I think they're really boring and I don't like them and I don't care that much. But this book is not like other career books. This book will teach you something but not bore you to shit.
Well, I think a lot of times with these like self-help things, they treat the reader like they're not an adult. Mm-hmm. Like they're like
they're very condescending.
They're condescending, yeah. Like especially dating books. Like the dating books bother me because they're like,
true too.
They're like, yeah, and you should go and get your hair done. And you're like, what exactly the fuck? 10 ways to please a lover. And you're like, I don't. What are you talking?
We're gonna
about?
Have to break down the rules. Have you ever heard of the rules?
What are the rules?
The rules is this book. It's like written in, it was written like 50 years ago. It's basically like a list of rules in order to land a man.
Oh my God.
It's like a little absurd, but I think it would be a great topic. We should talk about that.
You know what's interesting about these dating experts? They're all gorgeous. And it's like, what the fuck do you know?
Right.
I want like a real, like, terrifying sloppy asshole-looking dude. Yeah, I want some guy.
No, not a guy. You want like a girl who's looking sloppy and like has mayonnaise on her pants. Just like
mayonnaise
she's got
pants.
She's got men running, chasing her all around. Yeah. Like, oh yeah.
How'd you do
then
that?
Then you're like, oh, like I want to hear your tips.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you know, like the hot girl's like, go to the library. You're like, what? You go to the library.
Exactly.
You should go grocery shopping. Oh yeah, you should just walk out of the house. Of course. Like I don't know.
Right. Like it's a little easier for you than others. We have got to be realistic
here. Let's admit to
it.
You know.
But speaking of books,
speaking of the library,
we had a person DM and suggest because we've gone over some dating books and some other stuff, and she recommended we read this book called A State of Affairs: Rethinking Infidelity by Esther Perel.
Cheating.
Yes. And I read this book. I read it very fast, not because I'm a fast reader, but because I found it very, very interesting. It had like very interesting points.
What's the most interesting thing you read in this book? Because I obviously did not read it.
So the most interesting thing about this book is that infidelity and like essentially like having an affair is more prevalent now than it used to be. And it's much more prevalent among women than it used to be. It used to be really just men who were mostly having affairs. But as marriage has changed, so has like the need to get away from marriage. Right.
Okay.
And as there's more women's equality, there's more the playing field in terms of infidelity is a lot more even.
Sure.
But really what the most interesting thing to me about this book is that the way that they're discussing marriage. So marriage used to be like what they're saying is the cornerstone of life. Like you'd get married really young and you'd build your whole life around your partner. That was like something you did before figuring out any of your other shit.
Yeah.
Right. Now it's like the idea is that you do everything that you've wanted to do
and then
you're ready to get married. And then like once you already have you have to like build a life and then you can get married. Right.
That makes sense to me.
Right.
Personally.
Yeah. Well, that's like kind of how society's going these days. But when you do that, you kind of build all these expectations on marriage, right? You build like this perfect partner who's going to complete you in all these ways, who's going to be everything for you, who's going to be, you know, like really sexy, but also really stable and really like there for you, but also like everything essentially. And no person can ever really be everything for you. So it really sets up, as opposed to like our grandparents kind of like knew they were like, it was more of a financial thing. They were like, yeah, I got married to this person. They're like, fine.
Yeah, my grandfather. Yeah, she's this bitch. She's
right.
Fine.
She's like, I knew five girls.
Grandma's
I
fine.
Married like yeah, one of them. I had a 20% chance of her being like the good one.
Sure.
And it's fine. And, you know, her family and my family's money kind of matches up. And like, this is sort of a good negotiating thing. And like, and when men would cheat, it was like not as big of a deal for women because they weren't expecting to be like, for it to be like
a perfect
match or even it was more about like, it was more about building this life together and like utility. So it's like, this guy will take care of me. I will take care of the kids. And like, they didn't really expect to be like super in love, which is not how marriage works today. Like when someone gets married today, it's much more romantic. It's like, I'm choosing this person because I think that they're going to complete my life in all aspects, financially, emotionally, whatever.
What's interesting about that is that like, it should be somewhere in between.
Right.
You know, like there should be like a level of practicality to a marriage, I would think. And then there's going to be a level of like, I want to be in love with this person.
Right.
You know,
it's
like,
it's definitely a trade-off.
Yeah.
But the reason a lot of people wind up cheating in these marriages is because their expectations are so high and then they eventually feel let down. And also like American society is like a hedonic treadmill in the sense that like as soon as you get married, you're like, oh, I'm supposed to be happy. But then you just kind of want the next best thing. So it's like, yeah, I'm happy, but I could probably be happier. Like maybe I could find someone that would make me even happier than this.
This speaks to me for like with the dating apps.
Right.
Like if you want to relate it to dating, like a lot of us are meeting people and then the person will go, well, I'm not ready to commit. That's not them saying they're not ready to commit. To me, that's them saying, I think I could still find a better match.
Right.
So I'm going to stay shopping.
Yeah, it's like you could probably make me happy, but maybe there's someone, we're in New York. There's a million people out there. Maybe someone could make me happier.
That's the scary part about these dating apps is that like you have to unhook yourself off of the drug at a certain point. Mm-hmm. A lot of men don't do it because the part of the drug is sexual, you know, like that they want to have sex with a bunch of different people and that's it. But like a lot of women, I feel like a lot of women in my life have been like able to unhook from the dating apps right away and give a concentration of the relationship in a way that like I'm like still, I think there's just a lot of guys that are still distracted. There's a Chris Rock bit, I think I mentioned it on this podcast, where he says guys are as faithful as their options.
Right, yeah, I've seen that one. And it's very like, depressing.
Well, it's depressing, yeah, but it's also true. Yeah. And it's also the reality of today is guys have more options than they ever had. You talk about the grandfather who has 20% chance of finding, you know, of finding the good one in his town.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you don't have to be Chris Rock to have options.
Right. And it makes it hard to be like very complacent in like whatever, whoever you do wind up choosing also. It's like, doesn't stop with like just the apps. It's like once you're actually with someone, the idea is like, yeah, this person's like good, but and even after you get, I think when people assume after they get married, everything's just kind of like smooth sailing, but it's kind of like you have to really work on not making it that, and that doesn't seem that appealing to a lot of people. A lot of times it's kind of easier just to like have an affair or hook up with other people.
I you know, the numbers thing makes sense to me. The women cheating more makes total sense to me because women are leaving the house more than they used to.
Right.
You know, where if you were a housewife, you would be home with the kids.
Yeah.
And
you're maybe meeting more. Yeah.
You're meeting less people than today. If you go to a job, you see the people on your subway. You see the people at work, the people after work. There's a, you know, party, the people after the after work party people bring friends to. All of a sudden you've met more people in one day than your grandparents met in 2 years.
Exactly. And as a woman who's making more money, you have more options. So if you're a man, it used to be just the man who was cheating. He had the money to pay for the private house apartment for the girl and like whatever. As women start making more money and they don't depend on men as much for that stuff, they kind of assume this men's role of like, I can, I don't, if this ends, this isn't like a disaster for me. I'm not completely reliant on you for like all of my financial stability.
That's a big thing. Yeah. I'm this instead. I need you to live. Right. I need you to have a house. Exactly. So I mean,
yeah. So I might be a little more careful in
I think also as I think more men are getting caught these days.
That's also true.
That's I don't know if like the whole idea of the guma, then like in the Italian world,
right, which is essentially like the mistress.
The mistress.
I've seen The Sopranos.
Yeah, so like I could understand at a certain time of this of a certain era, a man going off and coming home to his family and being a good dad and good husband,
right,
and then being like, gotta work late tonight, I'm gonna just stay by the office, and then hooking up, and then coming back the next day and being the same dad and good father.
Right.
He's a good husband. You know, like
And this book says that a lot of men are like a lot. There's a lot of men and women who are like perfectly very good, loyal, passionate or not passionate, but they're like they're reliable. Well, sometimes they are, but they can be very reliable partners and really good in other ways. But in a like we can't pretend that sex and like and being a good partner and all the other ways are like necessarily entwined. Like they're two very different things. And another really interesting thing that they talk about in this book is that like the idea that like stability and lust are like very conflicting, which makes marriage especially hard because the more safe you feel in your marriage, the less sexy it is.
The less sexy.
Right.
Yeah.
The things that are sexiest are kind of like, oh, I don't know if I'm, which is what's so alluring about an affair is like, oh, I don't know when I'm going to see you next. This is like sneaky. This
You're
is exciting.
You're walking a tightrope. Yeah.
Right. But if you like, if someone's the mother of your kids or the father of your kids, you know exactly where they are at all times.
Yeah.
You were essentially like kind of fusing into one person. It becomes like very unsexy. And she was saying that the best way to like sort of safeguard, and you can never really safeguard entirely, is to kind of almost act like you like with your partner that you are having an affair. Like you'd kind of
role play of the affair.
You make it like more erotic, or you make it like, because the more
we
mystery,
can't follow each other on Instagram.
The more mystery that you have,
please don't follow me.
With
my
your
wife
significant
will find
other,
out. Yeah.
It's true. Like the more mystery you have, The hotter that person becomes, because they're not like just an extension of you. They're an entirely different person.
This is
like
why
you talk about the wigs or the, like,
yeah, put on a wig, right, put yeah. on, you know, do something weird. Mm-hmm. I take a trip. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. Have sex in a hotel room. That's why hotel room sex is fun.
Exactly. Because
you're like, oh, this is a different bed, you know, brought right. to you by Lisa Mattresses. So mm-hmm. I, this is why, like, there's a weird thing where it's like, it's easy to be like, anyone who cheats is a monster.
Right.
I have empathy for cheaters. I do. Okay. I
Well, this then you'd like this book because it really, like, it rethinks the common narrative. And she's saying, like betrayal is seen as like the number one worst thing you could do in a yeah. marriage. It's the number one, or even like in a relationship, it's like the number one betrayal. But it doesn't really take into the nuances into account, like the nuances of like why people do that and what other stuff, which could be equally, if not more, like.
Well, I mean, to be personal about this, like, that's the, you know, that's the weird thing is, as a guy, I don't know if this relates to women, it might, is right. that the thing that scares me most about getting into, like, committed, full-on relationship is that I will be the person that that I'm the one that will cheat and be the evil one and be the one that ruins everything.
Right.
I don't have the fear within me, and maybe this is cocky or ego-filled, but I don't have the fear of getting cheated on.
Because you don't think anyone would cheat on you? Or because you just don't think it would hurt that much?
I know how I would rationalize it.
Okay.
Like, I don't think someone would never cheat on me. I'm sure I've been cheated on today, like, with someone that I was with.
Right. Is it possible that you maybe, like, haven't gotten so emotionally invested in someone that you would care that much?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, that's a part of it. You know,
right.
There could be a psychologist listening right now being like, well, you're fucked up. but if someone was to cheat on me, I go, all right, I would have a very male mathematical look at it.
Okay.
I would be like, well, what am I doing wrong? What can I change? Does this mean that you're not looking to go forward with me? If that's mm-hmm. the case, let's release from each other. You know, like, I would be like, let's, okay, we have to review the contract.
Right.
I would be devastated and hurt. But I don't know if it would necessarily, like, be the life-threatening thing that it might be to a woman.
Well, I think
not life-threatening.
I think it depends
dramatic.
On, like, how much of your life you've already invested in them. It's like, for a lot of people, if you get cheated on, and this book goes into that also, is like, it becomes sort of, you kind of lose your own identity because you build your identity. If you're someone who's built their identity, a lot of the time is about your choices. And I've chosen you because I thought that you would never be someone to do this. And that just kind of like ruins your whole self perception.
Yeah.
Obviously the less you agree to get invested in someone, the less upset you're going to be, because it's less like, oh, this choice that I made was just like the wrong choice.
Interesting. Yeah, I get, you're right about that,
you know?
Because I have friends, you know, men who have been cheated on.
Yeah. I mean,
and I know that they're like, you know, their confidence level was like very much shot. They had to go back into this world of like, okay, I got to go trust someone again, and
right,
I gotta go meet new people, I gotta go back on the apps and all that stuff. But I don't know, I'm saying, as far as going into a committed relationship, my fear as a guy is more the fear of, you know, wasting time for a woman,
okay,
and then falling upon the better match that could come down the road.
There is like an ultimate, do you see for yourself like there's an ultimate match just like kind of waiting there?
No, I know that doesn't exist.
Right.
I know that I know in my heart of hearts that like there's no one. I don't, my personal view is that there's no such thing as a soulmate.
Right. I agree with that.
I think there's many people that I could, I think there's also many people in my past dating life
that you could have
that
been
I could have been with.
Right.
And bowing out, I have no regret of you know, those things ending. I look at them as making me a better person,
right?
Or the person that I am, maybe not better, you know, whatever mm-hmm. I am. And then, but I do think that, you know, it weighs. Do you have the fear that like you're with someone,
right?
Do you ever think like let's say, like, do you, what's your fear of cheating?
For me, it's not necessarily like a fear of getting cheated on or even cheating. It is a fear of like life in the far future becoming boring or becoming like, and it's hard to say. I mean, I've been in a relationship for like a little over a year, right?
Sure.
I don't know what it's going to be like to be with someone for 10 years, for 20 years, for whatever. Like, it's fun. It's exciting now. But like, my fear is I would say like, yeah, like the more stable things become, the less hot they become. You really have to like, it's, and I don't know like it, what that's like after you have a few kids and you have all these responsibilities, and like, it's great to have someone stable that you can rely on to do it with you, to be like your teammate. But it's also like scary. Like,
I mean, I watch my parents together and I'm like, I don't know how you fucking did this.
Right.
Like, I'm more like in awe of it. Like, because I know that like, it wasn't like every day was a like a great day in their lives. And I've witnessed, you've seen fights, and you've seen, you know, over the course of my life, and I've dealt with both sides and talking to them both about, you know, during tough times. And I'm like, man, to get over that hump of like a lifetime.
To not
together,
just say like, fuck this.
Like, yeah. Like, there's so many times when they could have just been like, ah, fuck it. And I wonder, you know, what, you know, in this time of of so many options, are we being led astray to keep to like just give up on everything because you're like, it's easy to just
go. Yeah, I think that's something that our generation, much more so than our parents' generation, is probably more quick to do because there's so many more options at the tip of your finger.
You know what the thing is? You don't know how miserable everyone is.
That's also, everyone looks really happy
everyone
on
looks
Instagram.
Really happy, yeah. And I think that's a big issue is like, everyone's like, well, everyone's happy. And then it's like, you have to remind yourself, like, everyone's miserable.
Right.
Single people are miserable. They're going, oh, you don't want to be on these apps. Dating in 2018 is awful. Then you talk to married people and they're like, marriage, oh my fucking God. They're going to look at this fat schlub the rest of his life. Everyone. Because the thing that I know is that I hear from everyone, like I'm out there, like with like, especially at shows.
Right.
Because you talk to people after shows, and I talk to single people, I talk to married people, I talk to the grandparents, I talk to the kids, I talk to everyone. Mm-hmm. And they all come up and take a picture, and they all say to me, they all give me a level of misery based on their thing. So if like the single people will
heard
be like,
it all.
Yeah. And I think that's like helped me to know that like, you know, it's the other side of the fence isn't so great, so you better be fucking sure.
Yeah, I mean, to quote Chris Rock again, it's like, is married and bored or single and lonely?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I'll quote myself. If you're on a if you're single on a Saturday night, if you're in a relationship, I pity you on a Saturday night, and I envy you on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Those are two different
There's no perfect scenario.
There's no perfect scenario.
And I think a lot of people think that they'll eventually get to that perfect scenario, and I don't think it really exists. I think people are happy. I don't think that everyone's unhappy, but I do think that there's even happy people, it's not like always a smooth sailing kind of thing.
Well, also for the purpose of this podcast, if you're in the position where you're dealing with somebody that's going, I want to keep hooking up, but I don't want to be in a relationship. That's an email that we get a lot,
yeah.
Where it's like, what the fuck does that mean?
Right.
You want to be together, but not together. You have to do your own Rosetta Stone. There should be a single Rosetta Stone where you can translate the things people say. Because whenever I've said, let's just be chill, but not be something, that's me saying, I'm going to keep looking.
Right. I think there might be someone who could make me happier than you.
Yeah. And that's not, it's easy to personalize that to look and go, well, I'm, you know, it's not about you.
Right.
It's about their, whatever they're looking for. But know that if they're not even willing to give a shot to you as like, okay, I'll be in a relationship and see how this will be. And then we'll have a breakup if it doesn't go the way it should go.
Yeah.
Then they're never going to come around to that.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be with someone who at least in the beginning thinks they're really lucky to be with you before they really find out who you are.
Yes.
that's key. At least that there's got, because if you're not at one point like pretty obsessed with someone, it only really goes downhill from there.
Yeah.
So you got to start real high.
And it's and if you're sitting there being like, well, I've never had that. Just because you never had it doesn't mean you never will.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are just afraid that they will never find that.
They're it's like, kind of terrifying.
It's always hard. It's always hard until it isn't hard.
Right.
So like a lot of people are like, I just, this whole conversation about like cheating and infidelity just brings you back to this idea of like the options out there.
Right.
And people are like blaming dating apps, but take a little self-responsibility. Take a little bit to read. You have to be self-sufficient.
Right.
And read what people are saying. If someone says to you, I don't want a relationship, but let's keep hooking up. They just want to hook up.
Yeah, you have to believe someone when someone tells you who they are.
Yeah.
Believe them.
Maya Angelou is a sponsor of this podcast.
She should be. She should be a guest.
We'll have her on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's... I do empathize with cheaters in a way that I don't think that they... If I walked in on my wife cheating on me, I'd be like...
I think there's different...
God, you did it, not me. You got to get out of here.
I'm sure if you had built a life with her and had multiple kids, you wouldn't think that.
No, but...
And like...
I think I would come around
really invested in it.
Yeah, but if I was with someone I loved and then I walked in...
You'd be like, I've been waiting for this moment since the day we said I do.
Listen, widower number one. Cheated on man number two in the fuck game.
Right.
Those guys are fucking.
Yeah. So I think there's a difference between like a sociopathic cheater and someone who's just like unhappy and like, and it's usually not about the person they cheat on. It's usually about
themselves. It's about sex stuff, that's the one thing that like we have this like this division of like we get that email. We got this email a few weeks ago about like, he's not into me. Is he gay? Like the first thing is first thought is he gay? And then it's like, I've mentioned this a bunch, but then it's like the guy is like, what do you want to do? 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 And the girl's always like, I'll do whatever. And then you guys end up missionary. So it's like we have to, we're watching crazy amounts of porn and getting out there in that way. We have to start being a little bit more giving to people that we're with might be different than what we became,
right,
started with them.
And that's, there's also a thing, like people have very different, I mean, we'll get into this email, which really gets into that also, is that we just assume that everyone has the same sex drive.
Yeah.
It's really not the case.
No.
Like it's very, just like anything else, like it's very hard to be perfectly aligned. So just because someone like wants to have sex less than you doesn't mean they're gay or they're lesbian or they're prude or they're whatever. Like, everyone just, there's no like one, for men too, there's no like one sex. And another thing this book talks about also in that realm is that like men are so like, it's very like, you can't really admit that you have like not a huge sex drive among men. So like if you have any friends who like don't like, who like sex every now and then but aren't like sex crazed, they're not going to tell you that.
Honestly, it's as like, a guy, you have to, this is how you can publicly be, you have to want sex all the time,
right,
but only missionary.
Nothing weird.
Nothing weird.
Okay.
Anything off of that, if you don't want it all the time and if you want something different, you might not be into women.
Right. I mean,
which is fine, but that's
also not the case though.
Not the case.
I'm saying, like, there's
two different
sexuality is such a like broad spectrum, and I feel like it sucks for men because they're, if they don't have this like universally appealing intense like libido, very high sex drive, they're kind of seen as like lame or like possibly gay or like something, I don't know, like there's a,
but women, you know, women have, you know, with the, you know, they're so self-conscious,
right,
that it has to be that you don't want me and it and right. No other answer.
Yeah. And that's usually not,
it's not the case.
Yeah.
I mean, you like, I, you know, I, to go back to the wig thing, you throw on a wig, oh my God, look at how into this girl I am again. You know, it's just
so it is about her.
Well, it's not about her. That's the thing. It's not.
It's about being different.
Yeah, it's just being different.
Okay.
You know, like I was watching TV the other day and there was this hot chick on TV and I'm looking at her. I'm going, man, she had like this certain haircut that I was like, man, this is, I, and then I was like, I had been seeing another girl and like, she was like, I was like that. I was this, saw this woman on TV. I was seeing this girl and then she was like, what do you, I was like, what do you, she goes, that girl's hot. Like there was mentioned that the woman's hot. I was like, that haircut. And then I was like given the opening to be like, that haircut's fucking hot. And she was like, is that what you would want out of me? And I'm like,
right,
I don't know.
You make everything,
you know,
about
everything
yourself,
becomes,
right.
Now I, you know, fucking think this person's an ugly bitch. You know, it's like,
right.
And it's not about that. And it's like, we, I think we have to like give ourselves into, like when you talk about like, you can love someone at the same time as being like, okay, I want to do something different sexually with you, or I want a different look, or whatever it is.
Right.
Those are kind of,
and
two,
that's what you should do. But it's for every, that's universal for any relationship. Like that helps it, is to have like a little bit of like inconsistency or a little bit of like excitement in the sense of like mystery.
Well, I had a friend who said, I have a friend who told me this one thing once, and it was like, it sounded like the most healthy thing a friend had ever told me.
What did he tell you?
He was, listen, I don't know if they'll make it, but I mean, like, he's married, he's got a kid, and he was kind of like, he was saying that he was giving his his thoughts on raising a child.
Okay.
And he was like, honestly, the kid's fine. Like, we take care of the kid. Obviously,
the kid's okay.
The kid's okay. Yeah. But he was like, I'm more going to concentrate on my marriage than the kid. He was like, the marriage comes first. And he was like, that was his like, philosophy. And I was like, well, you know, we were talking about it. He's like, the marriage comes first because if we're good, the kid will be good.
That's true.
And he was like, he's like, if I'm going to play the numbers, you can't make sure that your kids are going to be okay. Like 100%. You can't. But he was like, if I am good with this woman that I love and we figure our shit out, they will follow the way. They'll follow the leader.
I think that's true.
And
right.
I do think that's true too. But it's also, it was healthy in the idea that like, when you say that, and you're saying that with sex stuff, you're saying that with communication, you're to me, that's, I don't know if he's saying that to me, though, it translated as, we're going to always be fucking.
I think that's, you know? To an extent, that is probably what he meant. It's like, when you take time to like actually like put energy and time into your relationship and make sure the person you're with is happy, like everything else definitely like falls more into line.
Totally.
So it's like, should be a big priority. That's the person, that's the other person. But that's equal to you in your life.
But this is kind of, this relates also to like just new relationships. Mm-hmm. If you're concentrating on like, I'm happy. If you're making yourself happy in a relationship, then the relationship will follow suit. Like if you're like, I'm going to do what makes me happy to make this other person happy. And you're not worried about what's going on Instagram, what's happening with your snap streak, what's happening with the texting.
Right.
And it's easy to go. Listen, this is easier advice to give than take. But like, it's easy to go down the path of like, well, I have to have all these things in line to be that make us a relationship when you're not even doing them to be happy.
Right. Yeah. It's very important to like take what actually is in going on in your relationship as separate from whatever you're projecting.
Yeah.
As like, because that's the real thing.
Yeah.
So what you're projecting is like, there's so many more people that project happy relationships than have them than there are like people who actually, I always say like there's an inverse relationship between the consistency in which you're posting online about how happy you are and how happy you actually are.
Yeah, because you're looking at likes instead of talking.
Right. If you're like actually happy, then you're not like focusing on, it's like if I'm out with my boyfriend and we're having a good time, I'm not making him take a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
When we're bored and like there's nothing else to do and like then I'm taking more pictures. Like it's kind of,
I get it.
It's like a,
listen, when I take a trip, when I go every weekend, when I'm doing these fucking how low will you go things, I'm bored. And so I take a lot more Snapchat, a lot more Instagram stories than on a weekday.
Whenever you're out, if you're out, it works for your friends too. If you and your friends are going out and you're just taking as many pictures as you can to make it look like you're having a ton of fun, you're probably not having a ton of fun. Yeah. My best nights, I don't have any pictures from.
Yeah.
Because I was having a good time.
But this is back to like the relationship. Like if you're concentrating on yourself and being happy, if you're having the best time, then all that other shit goes away.
Right.
And it works.
Yeah.
You want to do some emails?
Let's do some emails.
Let's pump up that book, though. Esther Perel, A State of Affairs, Rethinking Infidelity.
It's a good one.
You would suggest it?
I would definitely suggest it. It's very interesting. It just makes you think about things in a different way than you're programmed to think about it, which is that cheaters are evil. And
the uneasy opinion is
people
always,
who get cheated on are saints.
Saints,
so it's like, it's just a very interesting, it'll help give you a new perspective.
Let's do some emails after this break.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code UUP10. It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BowlandBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
We're back. Let's do the weird sexual experience. You ready?
I'm ready.
Hi, Jared and Jordan. I had a weird sexual experience this weekend that was too good not to share. Hope you enjoy. Here it goes. On Friday night, I went out with my roommate and her friends, including a guy she wanted to set me up with. The guy and I hit it off and eventually go back to his house. Once we got back to his place, he finally makes a move and we start hooking up. I'm pretty into him, but at this point, it's almost 4 a.m. and I can't tell, and I can tell we are both pretty drunk, him way more than me, so we pick things up in the morning before it goes too far. Wasn't really in the mood for super sloppy drunk sex.
I like that move.
Idea of like, let's pick this up in the morning.
I think that's fair. It's like
totally fair. Yeah. Bad breath sex, love it. We go to sleep and I wake up a few hours later. I immediately notice that I'm very wet. Ooh, this is getting sexy. The guy is dead asleep at this point. I do some investigating and find a huge wet spot on the sheet. I also notice that the guy has moved to the other side of the bed and has also changed his boxers. In this moment, I realize he had peed the bed.
I can't believe he peed, changed his boxers, didn't say anything.
I can believe it.
It's like, you just sit there in the pee, but I'm going to change.
I'm going to get myself right. For the record, we are both in our late 20s. This is not college. Yeah, but that doesn't mean the people who peed the bed in college still have this problem
out of college.
These
people?
Oh, we had guys with rubber sheets in my fraternity.
Don't you feel like that would make you drink a little less?
Yeah. Listen, there's a lot of things that should make you drink less. You know, I should be drinking less. I lay there for a while in his pee, trying to figure out what to
marinade. A marinade.
Soaking it up. I get to make her feel better, that's the most watered down pee.
The mattress?
No, the drunk pee is like water.
It?
Yeah, you could drink that shit. Okay. I get to...
All right, don't tell me more about your fraternity days.
I get up to go to the bathroom and come back to see he's woken up. He immediately looks at the bed and had a look of horror on his face. He apologizes and does seem pretty embarrassed. However, he throws a blanket over the wet spot and seems like he wants to try hooking up again. This is such a dude move.
Oh my God.
He doesn't realize.
He knew that he peed the bed. He changed
No,
his
he
boxers.
Knows he peed the bed, but he doesn't realize how gross this makes him look.
Right.
Guys,
I like that he was like, oh, I peed in the, I didn't like, as if he didn't realize like when it happened and then just pretended it didn't.
Well, I do like that he's like, he put newspaper over it like a dog. It's like Big Daddy.
This guy's in his late 20s.
No, Big Daddy. This is in that movie. Right, it's real to life to me. However, he throws a blanket over the wet spot and wants to try hooking up again. To be honest, half of me wanted to run and shower, but I was also still a little horny since we didn't have sex the night before, so I figured maybe you could rectify the situation. We started hooking up. After a few minutes, realized he is way too hungover to get it up. Man, she writes, another fail. If he had a point thing above him, just ding, ding, ding. We wind up just cuddling a while on the blanket on top of the wet spot while I'm mentally planning to get the longest shower of my life. I'm a little traumatized, but he did ask for my number and really did seem like he wanted to give it another shot. Does this guy have any chance of redeeming himself, or will he forever be known as the guy who peed the bed? He did seem like a super sweet guy and was very attractive, so it's definitely a shame that he gave such a poor first impression. Do you think he deserves another shot? I hope this brightens your day. Can't wait to keep listening. What do we think?
I'm just like, I feel like if I'm her, I'm in my late 20s.
Sure.
I go back to a guy's apartment. I wake up soaked in his urine.
Yeah. You've basically had
I'm reevaluating my life choices.
Really?
As I lay there cuddling this man that I just met in his urine soaked sheets, I'm just sitting there thinking like, where did it go? You know, like those movies where it starts off and it's like, you might be asking like, how did I get here?
Yeah. The movie starts with her in the pee bed.
I think she's needs to up her standards, because after that, she's kind of like, he wasn't even that apologetic. I think, like, you got to be more embarrassed about this in your late 20s.
I hear a lot of myself in him. Okay, so I have to be empathetic to him. I will say this. The most disheartening part of the whole story is him not stripping the bed and trying to put new sheets
on. Right,
that's what
I'm saying. He's not even, like,
it's him putting,
he wants to cuddle on top of the urine.
But a blanket over. It is dried up a little bit from the night before. Let's give him a break. I do think women are more mature than men and mature quicker than men. Okay. So that being said, this guy, you got to take, you know, I don't think this is, to me, it could be cute. At the end of this email, she gets into like, he's attractive, he's nice, he's into me.
Okay.
I do see that there are such a thing as people who get boozed up and wet the bed. It happens.
He's too chill about it. I think, but
I also think he's still drunk from the night before. If he's too hungover to get it up in the morning, that means he's still got the poison in.
By the time she's gotten it together to write this email, he hasn't apologized profusely.
He said, does this guy, I don't know, did he apologize?
Doesn't seem like it.
I can't believe they cuddled on top of the blanket.
That's like a low
on
point.
Top of the wet spot.
I'm not perfect. I've had, I actually.
You ever had a guy pee the bed?
I haven't had a guy pee the bed. You might like this story. I went to a wedding with my boyfriend the other night and we were like wasted. We came back. I wake up in the middle of the night completely hungover. I'm at his apartment. He like won't wake up to like get me an ice pack. So I go to the freezer.
What are you just hitting him?
I'm my head. I have such a headache. Yeah. Like, please, whatever. So I go to the freezer and I get like this bag of like frozen cranberries.
Okay.
And I just put it on my head, right?
Is he baking pies for Thanksgiving?
I don't know what the fuck they were doing in there. Anyway, so I fall asleep. I wake up like 3 hours later, the cranberries have melted. And have you ever seen cranberries like melt? They're like, it's like bright pink.
Yeah.
It's all over the sheets, like all over the pillow, the sheets. It's everywhere. I didn't realize the bag was open. So they were frozen first, so it was fine. And then it melted. It's like all over my face. It looks like someone got shot with cranberries.
He wakes up and he thinks he murdered you in his sleep.
And then he wakes up and he's like, I'm like, no, and I feel it dripping on my face, which is how I wake up. And I'm like, fuck. I get up and I immediately like freak out and I like start trying to clean it. It's like totally lost cause. And then I'm like, this is your fault. Like, you didn't get up and get me the ice pack. Like,
perfect first move is to blame it on someone else.
Exactly.
It'd be funny if he woke up first and he was like, your period is crazy this month.
And very pink.
Very pink. Oh my God.
I'm not a stranger to a drunk faux pas, but I think this is a little weird. And if you were in college, I'd say give him another shot. I think it's a little old to be doing this.
I woke up once while the girl was peeing.
Okay.
Like I was in bed and I woke up.
Did that wake you up?
It woke me up. The feeling of the stream.
Liquid?
Going down my leg. I jumped out of the bed and then I went in the like when you try to like, you spill something on the floor and you like save the most perishable item.
Right.
Like I grabbed the comforter and I was like, get with me. You know, like I like, you know, like I gotta get the comforter off the bed.
Yeah.
And then I went.
It's your first instinct.
My first instinct, save the down comforter.
Right. Okay.
So I save the down comforter. I go and I give her shorts.
So your bed.
This is my bed. And I give her shorts and then I go on the floor with the comforter and sleep the rest of the.
Was this the first time you guys hooked up?
We had hooked up before.
Okay.
And there was another time where I had kind of ghosted this girl in college. This is all college too.
Okay.
To your point, this is a very college like thing.
Sounds collegey.
It's collegey. This girl and I kind of ghosted her before that was a term. And then she came back for like a formal or some sort of like social event. And I could tell she was very nervous about seeing me again. Then we like talked, we're hanging out, but she was also drunk. And then she got pretty wasted. And I like was like, okay, I brought her up to my room and put her on the couch that I had in my room.
Okay.
And it was my roommate's leather couch. Like we had these big rooms with like
right.
a couch, like a little the sitting fraternity? Area. Yeah, my fraternity.
Okay.
Had a little sitting area and then the beds. So she's on my roommate's leather couch. And then I wake up the next day and she's gone. And my roommate is like standing over the couch being like, your fucking chick wet my couch.
Oh.
So now it became like my fault.
And so you've been with several girls who have peed.
That's why I have empathy. Okay. I've never hated those girls for peeing.
Have you been with any girls in their late 20s who have done that?
No. But what I'll say about this guy is that it can happen. Some people get drunk. It's a bad look okay. for him. I think he can be redeemed just because I think what this kind of plays to what girls like.
Girls you're like in everywhere?
A fixer upper. She can fix the leak.
But she shouldn't want to fix. Okay, you're entitled at the age of 28, 29 to be with a guy who can control his bowel movements. It's an entitlement.
Yeah, but you
call me high maintenance.
If this was his if we called this a disability, you wouldn't feel right.
But
about,
it's not a disability. He could just drink less.
He could drink less. But what if every time he gets drunk, he wets himself?
Then he should stop drinking.
Stop drinking.
Yeah. What are you?
Or wear a diaper.
What are you going to have? This is going to be your husband. You're going to be changing your kid's diaper and then his.
He could change his own diapers.
I think it's kind of it's the kind of thing where it's like if you're just looking to hook up, fine, give him another shot. This guy is not a serious guy.
No. If you're just looking to hook up, get away from the pier. You don't need pee in your life all the time.
This guy is not self-improved enough to figure out his urine.
But maybe she's the one
problem.
That could help him improve.
She shouldn't have to sign up for that. With a guy who already has a deep sense of control over his bowel movements.
Would you rather? Okay. Guy who pees the bed but is the perfect boyfriend. Or guy who doesn't let you look at his phone every now and again. Guy who wants to be with you but can't control his bowel movements, or guy who wants to be casual but not like that relationship we talked before.
I'm neither. It's what I'm saying. Like I have some like control
have
and ownership
standards.
Over your thing. Like have some standards. You could be with a guy. It's not a huge high bar to be like, I want to be with a guy who
doesn't
get so drunk
over
in his late 20s that he pees. He does though. You
but
could
you,
just drink
you
less.
Even said you get drunk. You used to get drunk in the past and get in fights.
Yes.
Don't you think the fight is
and I'm
the
actively
verbal
working.
Peeing?
I'm actively working on
but
that.
But I'm saying if he didn't give you the chance to work on it.
Right. Okay, fine. But I'm saying I was extremely apologetic after that.
This guy
isn't
apologetic
enough. This guy
doesn't
seem to. He's like, let's cuddle on top of the.
Well, I think that she could go. I think like everybody needs. Every girl needs to be a little bit
If you're
bit
down
of a,
to self-improve. I think I was like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. I'm so sorry that I did that. Like. How could let me get you a change of clothes and like let's get the sheets off. Like,
sure.
Okay, fine. I'll give that guy another chance. This guy, like, you know, this guy does this all the time. Like, just from the way he's like, oh, I throw the blanket
he's got the
on
pee
top
blanket.
Of it. I throw the blanket on top of it. I try again. I'm kind of brushing it off. He knew in the middle of the night that it happened. He went back to sleep. Like,
I think here's the only way you give him another shot. You text him and you go, "Have you dried off yet?" Just to call it out.
Okay.
And then if he comes back with, hey, I just want to like be real with you. I got to apologize. It happens all the time. I should have been better. Then you go out again.
Fine.
And if he doesn't, if you go, have you dried off yet? And he writes back, what do you, you know, hey, how you been? How was your weekend? Like, and just ignores
right.
it.
Right.
Then you don't go back.
That's what I agree with that. If the guy is like showing some self-awareness.
Give him one more shot at self-awareness by like taking a poke at it.
Fair.
What would we call it?
The urine marinade.
The urine marinade. The marinade. The flow. The
urinary tract retention.
Yeah. Wets. Bedwetter.
Yeah. Wish there was something like
the toddler.
I used to be one of those people who thought they didn't have time to prioritize wellness, but I recently came across Allo Moves and now my whole mindset has changed. The app makes it easy to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, and so much more. To me, living a healthy, mindful life is really about your mindset, and all of the things that Allo Moves have in their app contribute towards a well-balanced, healthy life. It's not just workouts. It's also meditations. It's also fitness classes. It's also yoga. It's things that calm your mind, healthy recipes, just to give you an overall lifestyle pick-me-up. And I think all of these things are equally important to having the healthy life that you want. So that's why I love that you can find it all in one place with Allo Moves. From beginner to advanced, Allo Moves has the flow or class that will fit your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what I'm feeling that day. If you're trying to get in a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights. Or maybe you'd rather find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, dry brushing, and journaling for those quiet moments. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use their code UUP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's allomoves.com, code UUP. allomoves.com, code UUP.
It doesn't have to be expensive to upgrade your wardrobe with luxury quality items. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. I love what Quince is doing. They're basically taking the expensive label off of the clothing and giving you stuff that's just as good. They have cashmere sweaters, they got jackets, they got everything. I love their socks. Right now, you're pulling socks out of the drawer and you're going, oh, it's that pair again? Get rid of that pair. Treat yourself. Quince. Not just the socks, though. They got everything. 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. Organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middlemen and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/UUP for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/UUP to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/UUP.
Let's do some emails.
All right. Hey, Jay and Jay. I've been dating a guy for a couple months now and everything is great. He's super kind. We have similar interests and ambitions.
Super kind.
Yeah, I've never seen someone call someone super kind.
What is he, a healthy bar to eat?
Right. We have similar interests and ambitions and he truly makes me feel cared for by taking me out and even bringing me flowers.
Don't like this already.
You don't like flowers.
I don't. Guy. Well, I don't like what's.
I don't like kindness.
No.
I don't like flowers.
I don't like how she's.
I don't
judging.
Like respect.
I hate it. Hate it all. I don't like how she's judging the merit of a good.
Well,
relationship.
Maybe it's like those things mean something to her, so she's happy she's getting them. Like kindness.
Kindness is loser. One thing. Yeah, fucking loser. Flowers, come on.
The part where I find myself confused is that I feel as though I should be more excited about him at this point.
Yeah, you use the word kind.
Yeah, that's not a sexy word.
No.
I got out of a serious relationship 10 months ago in which I was super in love, so I'm unsure if this means I'm still not over it or I need to give it more time with this current guy. My question is, do you think there's a certain time limit to give yourself to feel that excitement and progressed feelings? He has expressed he has some serious feelings for me already and I don't want to lead him on, but at the same time I do think it's possible I could eventually get there. Love to hear your thoughts.
End it.
This is a good dilemma.
End it. I don't even
I agree at the end of the day with you, but I think a lot of girls in that
sure.
have this sort of mental debate in their head, like, because a lot of the time also when you're used to picking the wrong guys and you get like kind of obsessed with the wrong guys, which did used to be me, you're kind of like, am I not excited by this guy because he doesn't treat me like shit? Is that like a thing where if he's actually like a really great guy, but I'm not feeling that like excitement, that drama, sure. Kind of going back to that attached book we were talking about. Like,
yeah.
I'm kind of like, I feed off of this like excitement from not knowing if someone's into me. So maybe I'm not into him because of that, which is sometimes the case.
Okay.
And I think a lot of the time when you do date someone who's like actually interested in dating, it can feel kind of weird. And you're like, oh, is this guy like a loser because he's so sweet and so kind? Or is he someone that I should be dating in an adult, mature relationship? And I'm just not like there mentally.
It could be a confidence thing, too, where you're like, how could this person be that into me?
That's also true.
That's a part of it. But I hear what you're
like,
saying.
Like, what's wrong with them?
Yeah, what's wrong with them?
Yeah.
They're fucking into me?
Right. I think she has to like sort of... In her own head, like, look back at her past dating scenarios and actually figure out if that could be the issue with why she doesn't like him.
I agree with you when looking at the past. And that's why I was so adamant at the beginning about how she should end it. The answer is always in these emails. She writes, I got out of a serious relationship 10 months ago. That's pretty soon to be in the next relationship, to me, after being in a very serious relationship. And
she said
which
very
I was
serious?
Super in love.
Okay.
She says she was super in love. She's now, I think it's okay to have loved and lost.
Right.
It's okay to have loved and lost. And it's, you know what's not okay? Then it's okay to take away the things you liked about that past relationship and use them to rate the next relationship. It's also take the things that you don't like about that relationship but to rate the next one too. It's a,
yeah,
you're
that's
developing
the best
taste.
Part about continuing to date a lot of people.
Sure. And right now she's then she gets a new hand that makes her feel, it's like she's at the poker table and she's gotten a good hand.
Right.
Not a great hand, but it's a good hand. And she doesn't want to throw it away because she's like, well, I don't want to be burned again by at the 10 month mark or at whatever the mark is. So I think she's afraid. I think it's twofold. She likes that finally she's found someone else who's ready to commit to
After 10 long months.
After 10 long months.
Right.
But she's also like, she's feeling, when you break up with someone and you're that invested, she said, I was in love.
Right.
Well,
that also indicates to me, like going back on what I said, is that maybe that wasn't her issue, was that she was picking, but if she was like in a long-term relationship and deeply in love,
yeah,
maybe her issue isn't that she's dating assholes who break up with her after 3 months.
No, I think her issue right now is this new guy. And she's going, I know how I felt about that last guy. I don't think it's about that she's into that last guy. I think she remembers how it felt to be like full steam ahead.
Right.
And she's now relating that to her life now. That's called developing taste. It's okay to throw away the fine hand to go and find that good feeling of, we did talk in the beginning about like all these options and investing more, but like you... I think you have to be, there's a gray area to that.
How long do you give someone, do you think, before you're like, where you're kind of on the fence, before you're like, I'm out?
I don't really look at it that way.
Because you're not looking to like really date.
No, but I am. I rate every experience on its own. Did I have a blast with this person today, tonight? Do I want to keep having a blast with that same person tomorrow or the next day?
What if you had a great time on the first date, the second date was okay?
Do
you give it a third?
It would depend how the third came up.
What do you mean? Do you ask her on a third?
Probably not.
So one bad.
Not one bad.
I feel like it's weird that you're willing to give the urine guy another chance, but someone who had a mediocre second date is like, forget that bitch.
Because urine isn't to me
it's more desirable than a boring personality.
Well, urine isn't a personality,
right?
To me, urine's a personality. A year down the line, when the guy can't stop drinking,
right,
and keeps peeing on you.
Mm-hmm.
Night one, you know, we all make mistakes, but she goes, I had fun. I enjoyed his company. He's a good looking guy. If I went out with a girl date one and we got wasted, had fun, and we fucked, and then she peed on me afterwards, I go, that was a little bizarre, but I had the best time up to the pee.
Okay.
This girl is sitting there in Kindville. She's not even like... It's not messy at all. She's, he's kind and sweethearted.
What I'm getting from this, she hasn't slept with him yet. You think?
I don't think she even wants to.
That's a bad sign.
I think this is like...
A lot of the time for girls, that's how you know. Because for guys, they'll probably sleep with anyone.
Sure.
If I'm on a third date with a guy,
yeah,
and I'm not like excited to sleep with him,
why be
I'm
that?
Out. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying to her. It's like you felt you've been dropped off the cliff of love. She said, I was in love, and she was probably devastated about the breakup. And when you break up with someone, there's a void.
Right.
One less person to hug, talk to, and text to. Okay? And this guy is filling some of that void for her. She likes that somebody will take up the slack of that void. But she's looking at it and going, yeah, it's fine.
Right.
He's a kind man.
I agree. At the end of the day, like after the analysis, that you're correct. She should leave because like it doesn't seem like she's got like a pull.
Yeah, and it's I think there's like there are I think it's like one thing when we were talking before about cheating, and it's like you've to be in love, and then have a plateau in your relationship. It's different to plateau to be
right, to be
fine,
to start in the middle
and then just be like, well, it'll right. get better. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, like we said, I guess in the beginning, like it's if it's not. The most obsessed that someone is with you is like it's only going to get less.
Less.
Right.
So in this case, don't be afraid. You're fine. If someone would fall in love with you once, someone's going to fall in love with you twice.
Yeah. You'll find someone else.
It'll
I feel
be
like,
fine.
Yeah.
But this has got to end. Because
and you could find another nice guy who's kind and also like excites you.
Yeah. There's
more.
Plenty of kind people. There's, you know, they're not going to make you come. UUP at Betches.com. UUP.
The next book title.
At Betches.com. Let's do another.
Yeah. You want to read this one?
Yeah. Hi, Jared and Jordana. Love the podcast. You guys are hilarious. You make me LOL in the car on my way to work. Keep up the good work. Thank you. I need some help with the situation. My boyfriend and I have been together for 2.5 years, but lately I haven't been feeling appreciated or special. We have been fighting a lot lately, and I feel like our fights have been going in circles. For example, I try to tell him how I was feeling underappreciated and unwanted. I wanted to know why, but I never got an answer from him because he always says that we are okay, and he says he is sorry and that he is not a hopeless romantic like me. The other day, we were texting fine until he sent me a picture of when we first started dating. He sent it randomly, which is like the fucking weird part, and responded with, I hate this picture, LOL, with the monkey-covered eyes emoji. He responded with, I like it. It was before your bulk.
It's fucked up.
Then I said, before your bulk.
I guess insinuating she's gained weight.
Hey, that's a weird way to even say that.
It's like a way of saying that where you're not being the complete asshole, but you're being like.
Yeah, you're like, you're fucking with her like you're
like an 8 out of 10 on an asshole scale.
Okay. I think it makes you a 12 out of 10 with that.
You think it's worse than saying before you're fat?
I think so. Like, you ever have someone tell you, like my mom has said to me, you look a little heavy. Heavy to me bothers me.
You think it's worse than
worse than you look like shit. Then
it's
I said,
like tired.
Yeah,
like
tired. That was fucking rude. He responded with, I know you don't want to hear this, but I'm not attracted to you anymore, but I still love you.
We're text?
Oh my God. This is hurting me. This was going on through text while I was in class. Who does fucking shit like that? I'm so upset and hurt because all I have asked him is to be honest with me throughout our entire relationship. I think that's hilarious that she's like, I've been asking him to be honest, and then he
right.
says the most honest thing he's ever fucking said.
That's true. I don't think that that's actually why she's upset.
No, she's upset to hear the honesty. Yeah. I don't think he realizes how much what he said hurt me. Yeah, he realizes it, and how I struggled with body image my whole life. He knows what he did.
Yeah,
I feel like he could have said this so many other ways or talked to me in person. I don't think he should have said this at all. I mean, at this point, I don't know.
I think he's trying to get her to.
Yeah,
break
he wants
up
out.
With him.
He wants out.
Right?
At this point, I don't know if I should end things or try to work it out. Most of the time, I feel like I'm the only one putting in the effort. He just keeps telling me that he still loves me. What should I tell him so gets a fucking clue that he's acting like a dick? Or what should I do, sincerely?
I think he knows he's acting like a dick.
Yeah.
This Let's guy say, isn't like, I'm whispering sweet nothings into her head.
No.
I think it's this just seems, and what I thought about you would say is that he wants her to break up with him.
Yeah.
But he's not going to, he's like just, kind of a wimp. He's not going to do it. So he's just going to keep telling her things that she doesn't want to hear.
He just described you this the way people describe a winter coat.
A lot of bulk.
It's just, this isn't nice. He knows we have to stop.
Right,
giving.
He went out of his way to do something that wasn't not even, there's some guys who like fuck up and they like start just talking and they say something stupid. That happens
this is
a
not
lot.
The case.
This is not that case.
I do think the P guy, to go back to the P guy, I think he put down the blanket. That's a fuck up.
Okay.
This is a plotted attack. And
this is pre-calculated.
Pre-calculated. Right. This is him getting out. He said, he said, all hands on deck. We're going through the storm.
He doesn't want to be the bad guy, though. That's why he keeps letting you talk in circles and not actually. I keeps reiterating that he loves you, which he very well might. But,
I love a lot of people. I don't want to fuck anymore. I mean, I'm just saying. Like,
It's fucked up because like it would be if he were like a really good person, he would just be honest and like be the bad guy in the.
He's afraid. He's, like a,
he's the worst guy by trying not to be the bad guy, which is something we've gone over.
We've gone over. Here's what she needs to stop doing. She needs to stop planning her best fights. Like,
what do you mean?
I'm so upset he hurt me because all I have asked him is to be honest with me. He's not honest. You're everything she's upset about or says she's upset about
is not the real thing.
Is not the real thing she's upset about. He said something that was awful and hurtful, and she goes, "I don't think he realizes what he said hurt me."
Right.
Yes, he does.
Right. Well, what she's actually upset about, I think, is that she's invested 2.5 years with this guy. And she doesn't want to let that go to waste.
And he's given up.
Yeah, he's given up. He doesn't want to be with her, but he won't end it. And she's frustrated because he won't give her like the closure that she needs, which is to break up with her. Instead, he just keeps acting like an asshole.
Yeah. I mean, this is the problem with fights, is that we never hammer on the things that
are really going on.
Are really going on because you're afraid of hearing the real answer. So the fight they had about, like even the fights that they go in circles about where he goes, I love you. And she goes, I feel underappreciated. You should say, "You feeling underappreciated, that's an easy thing to brush off.
Right.
You haven't gone down on me in 6 months.
Point to specifics.
You have to go to fights as if they're court cases.
Right. You can't be vague because you're going to get a vague answer.
Yeah, because vague will bring vague. Yeah. You're right. And you have to give a specific thing that you have a problem with and say, because of this, I'm feeling like you don't want to be in a relationship anymore.
Right. Like, why? I don't understand why you would say this to me out of nowhere. Are you trying to get me to break up with you?
Yeah.
It's like a good, honest thing to say.
Yeah. You just said something that you know hurts me by referencing my weight, which...
You know I'm sensitive about.
You know I'm sensitive about. You've been together with... If I'm with someone for 2.5 years, I know what they're sensitive about.
Right. I also... Yeah. You know what to say to them to make them feel insecure.
And you know the kill shot that will get you out of the relationship. He knows that... calling you bulky and that you're not attracted to it will get you to go to your friends and the friends will go dump him and that gets him off the hook.
I don't get why in his eyes it's better to be the guy who calls his girlfriend fat than it is to be the guy who breaks up with someone that he's not that into anymore.
I have no idea. I mean,
I don't really understand that logic.
The logic I think is that if someone dumps you, you don't have to say anything. Like if she's like, well, we're done. You just called me fat. He would go, okay. I enjoyed you. I still love you, but I understand. If he dumps her,
it's real lazy.
It's lazy. Right.
I don't even want to have to put together the sentences.
Yeah.
Of breaking
well,
up with
if he
you.
Dumps her, he'll have to go to her door, knock on it, say, hey, we have to talk. Then they talk, and he goes, I'm just not in it anymore. And she'll go, why? And he'll go, I'm just not in it anymore. Why? Are you not attracted to me? No, I love you. Then why would you not want to be with me? And he'd have to keep going in that circle for about a week. And then by the end of the week, he'll be out, but it's a longer process. Then, yeah, let me just say the worst possible fucking thing, so she'll just end it. And I don't have to answer any questions.
And then to this girl, like, obviously... this guy is giving you this out and like you want to fight for this relationship because you've invested a lot of time in it. But obviously you could find someone who treats you better than this.
Yeah. Take the out. So, I mean, you can take the out with asking the questions that you want to ask. So don't.
Right. You don't have to accept that you're the one that has to break up with him.
Sure.
You can get him to say what's actually going on.
You go, you can say to someone, this is obviously done. We're breaking up today. I need to know what happened that made you want to end this relationship because you ended it.
Right.
I was devoted and tried. And at some point you gave up and that's why I am now giving up. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not saying you're going to get your answers.
But at least you're getting out what's true.
What you want to get out of your system. Because really a lot of people stay in these things where the guy's trying to dump. When someone's trying to get you to dump them, people stay in it so that they don't have to not hear the reasons they were dumped.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Because they don't want to know the truth.
They don't want to know the truth. And it's you'd rather be like, well, listen, we can work through this. You must not know that, you know, calling me fat hurts me. It's like,
right. What? He knows exactly what he's doing.
You know what the fuck he's did.
Right.
Yeah. That's mean to anyone. I think it sucks, not just someone you love.
Right. I think it sucks that this guy can't just like muster up the strength to do something right after that long of a time period.
But also, don't challenge whether he loves you or not. In his fucked up mind,
doesn't matter if someone loves you or doesn't love you. It matters how they treat you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sounds like he's treating you like shit. Everyone can say that they love anyone. Yeah. You know, like,
I feel bad that she works. She's like, I listen on the way to work every day. Now, like, we're giving her some hard truths.
Well, I think that she knows what's going on. She just needs to hear it from someone else so she can feel 100% confident.
I get mad at Facebook memories for showing me old pictures where I look better. I hate Facebook for that reason.
Don't believe that. Because you know what? I always think I look better in these old pics. Mm. And then I go to, then what you do, if you think you look really, you're like, oh, why don't I look like that anymore? You go to the album and you see all the pictures that you untagged. And you're like, no, I look exactly the same. I just didn't leave this picture tagged on my Facebook because I look like shit in it.
Yeah.
But I look, there's
these
a picture.
Are the favorites.
Right. I look exactly like that picture.
Yeah.
Right now. It's true. Like, seriously, I started doing that and I was like, oh my God, I look like the same, if not better.
Sure. Okay. I'll take that.
You should try it.
Well, I'm just saying.
Especially back in the day. Sorry. I digress.
But that's okay. I digress all the time. But I'm just saying, if Facebook can make me mad, this guy, you can get mad at this guy for such a fucking
100%. Guy. Let's play some games.
Sending someone an old picture. Go fuck yourself. That bothers me.
Yeah. That's fucked up. That she's like,
that's maniacal.
He's like asshole Facebook memories.
Yeah. That's it. We'll call
I
that.
Can't imagine if Facebook added commentary on all the memories. Ugh. This was before your bulk.
Yeah. This is before your bulk. This is when you were a fucking drunk idiot.
Right.
Yeah.
In the market for investment worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's play some games.
Okay.
We want you to send in your red flag deal breakers to UUP.
All of these are user submitted, so you guys are great.
So keep sending them in.
UUP at Betches.com, UUP at Betches.com.
UUP at Betches.com.
Oh, I don't even know if we asked people to rate, review, and subscribe this episode.
Listen.
That's weird.
I don't know if I talk about this ever.
I've
never mentioned this before, but let me say to you, the listener, if you're listening right now and enjoying this show, take a screenshot, tag us. I'll send you a heart and let people know. I'll send you a heart. You're welks. I'm pretty giving.
A well-curated care package.
That's right.
The heart button.
But listen, that's how you pay for the show. There's different ways to pay. You support our sponsors. You rate, review, subscribe. Or you
tell a friend
and make it your Instagram story is the easiest way to tell a friend. So
thanks,
get
guys.
That the fuck together.
So you guys sent these in. Let's see if we like them or not.
Sure.
Everything's perfect, but they live above or at a funeral home.
What's wrong with that? Is this a Halloween theme?
It's a little weird.
No issue.
You're fine.
You could live above.
What if they live in a funeral
a sex
home?
Trafficking shop?
You're and fine
I'd
with
be
that.
Okay with that. That's not your. That you just need a place to live.
What if it's like you live in the like you rent a room in the funeral
in
home?
In the funeral home.
Yeah,
I'm fine with it. Actually, it's a conversation piece and it's fun.
I'd have to know more.
Think?
It'd be like a little bit of a red flag for me. I need like it's a little grim.
It's grim.
Everything else is great though. I'm probably fine with
now, if they're living above a funeral home and they're like their thing is like funerals. And they like also show weird. Up to the funerals every week.
That
and
might be a deal breaker.
Yeah, that's a deal breaker. But that's not, that's different than, yeah, you rent was good.
You couldn't find a better, another.
What if the funeral home.
Factor into your rent decision?
We're all gentrifying neighborhoods now. So what if it's in the cool new section of town and that funeral home is just hanging on? I live around the corner from a funeral home.
Yeah, everyone lives around the corner from a funeral
really?
Home. This is New York City. Everyone, there's a funeral Fair. Home on every.
Well, I'm saying for our listeners abroad, we have a lot of. We have a lot of foreign listeners.
Yeah. I've been watching Sabrina on Netflix and she lives in a funeral home, but she's a witch.
She lives in a funeral home?
In the new Netflix version, she lives in
a
funeral
home. Is it still an animatronic cat?
The cat is like not animatronic, but it doesn't speak in this one. It's like digital. That's not whatever. Fun. Yeah. It's like it's weird. But anyway.
Is it like a serious version of Sabrina?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like a little weird. It's for like 13-year-olds, but like...
You know what's so funny?
I didn't mind it.
We're forcing our own childhood on the younger generation.
I know.
We're force-feeding Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I feel so bad for a 13-year-old growing up with Instagram.
I haven't even thought of that.
They deserve a better Sabrina remake.
You need a cat with the voice of an old man.
Yeah.
Let's do another. Everything's perfect. But they are the mascot for a semi-pro sports team.
I'm out.
You're out.
I'm out. I went on a date with a guy who was a mascot. I forgot what college he went to, but he was a mascot. He told me for whatever like football team they had. And I was just, it was just not sexy.
Really?
I have to say, I think if I didn't actually go on a date with this guy, I might say red flag. But like.
They get like a full scholarship and shit.
He didn't mention that.
I think they get like full scholarship. Like it's a big time job. I went to Penn State. The lion is like the most in shape dude on the cheerleading squad.
I don't know. I was just, I just, it was not hot to me. For me, I couldn't get there sexually, erotically.
It'd be weird to have sex while the mascot head hangs in the corner.
Yeah.
I am a big fan of college mascots.
So you would have sex with a college mascot?
Yeah.
Okay.
You kidding me? It's such an interesting story. You have a cool passion. You're a part of a cool community, all the former mascots.
Okay.
It is a semi-pro sports
team. So this is neither
team.
For you. You're into it. Okay.
I'm into it. I like that they have an interest that I don't have to do.
I guess.
Anytime there's an interest.
I don't know. Anyone whose job and for me involves like dressing up in costume, there's just a level. Maybe it's like a pretentious thing.
Let's change it to they have a side job of being a Captain's Morgan. Because I was just
the Captain Morgan guy?
The Captain Morgan guy.
Oh, we've done a Captain Morgan ads and we did a thing with them with the captain is actually pretty hot.
This is what I'm saying.
He's pretty hot, but that's his job.
I was in Miami.
I'd rather have sex with actual Captain Morgan, I think, than the Captain Morgan mascot.
Hold on. So this is, let me change this.
Okay.
You meet a guy on an app. You go, what do you do? And he goes, I'm actually the Captain Morgan guy. I go bar to bar and I do live events and that's what I do. Red flag or deal breaker?
It's a deal breaker. I'm out. I'm like a Jewish girl from Long Island.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
This is not my thing.
There's things that, you know, we're not happy.
I try
to
be down to earth. I don't think I could deal with introducing him to my...
Putting on the Jack Sparrow dreads.
Right. This is like actually his...
He puts his foot on everything. His knee's always up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Are you... What if it's a girl and she plays...
Who's she play? Like if she's the Flow commercial girl, I'm set for life.
What girl?
Flo from the Progressive commercials.
Oh.
She's making $10 million a year.
She's not in costume, though.
That's a costume.
What if she works at Disney? The Disney store. She's a greeter, but she's dressed like Cinderella.
She's entering in that... I mean, I have my own non-down-to-earth moments.
She works at Build-A-Bear.
She's building bears all day long.
See?
The problem with the Disney greeter dressed as Cinderella is that... They're like, yeah, you start as this, and then I go to Broadway, and then I become a star. And I'm like, I don't know, that seems like a lotto ticket. And she's probably thinking the same thing as me, doing comedy.
So you're out.
I'm out.
Okay. See, I got you there.
I'm not judging you.
I got you there. I'm sorry I won't have sex with the school mascot.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
It's just not, I don't know. And I only say this with such certainty because I went out with someone who did it, and I just was not... It was just not something that was appealing. Anyway, Last one. So they overuse your name in a casual one-on-one conversation. For example, one thing, Jared, that really makes me cringe, Jared, is overusing my name, Jared. Or that's a good question, Jordana. See, Jordana, the thing about that is talking mid-conversation between two people, totally unnecessary, Jared.
It's annoying. It's also like condescending a little bit.
Yeah, it's very, I think that's like the annoying part.
So. And this is Jordana.
Have you ever had I feel like it's kind of almost like salesy.
It's salesy. It's also right? like them trying to memorize your name.
Yeah.
It would feel like they always forgot my name. Like, and Jordana likes to go to the park. And when Jordana, it's also like kind of third person-ish. It's douchey in that way.
It's a little like creepy almost. I don't.
If I was on a date.
They're perfect in every way though. But they're just like, so Jared, tell me about your comedy, Jared.
It's a deal breaker.
Where are you off to?
I'm out, Jared.
I think it's like too, it's almost like too fake poised to like fit in with like the colloquial nature.
None of it rings as honest to me.
Yeah.
It's like when I heard someone use the word, what was the word they used the other day? And I was like, oh, fuck off. They spelled favorite with O-U.
Oh, are they British?
No. And then they were like, and then they used the word vapid or some shit. And I was like, get out of here. Get out of my life.
Vapid's okay.
In a written way, like it's not even natural.
A reader, Jared,
you want to sound a certain way when you use certain words.
That's fair.
What do you think? Are you in or out?
I think it's perfect in every other way. I'll give it 2 dates.
Listen,
I think if he doesn't
Jordana,
stop.
I just want you to know, Jordana.
Yeah, I'm out. All right.
Right. You That's can't fair, say yeah. it without sounding like you're explaining things to someone.
Right. It's kind of it's a little too like. I'm entitled.
Yeah. You think you're something you're not.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's our show.
That's our show. We're here every Wednesday with your emails. Keep sending them in, UUP@betches.com. We're here every week. You got to keep telling your friends. We want to keep it growing. DC, we're coming.
Betches.